What was he wearing? Well, he was wearing a red Argyle sweater and tan trousers and red shoes. Hmm? No, he's not retarded.
Hello and welcome to the Surviving Grady podcast. My name is Red. His name is Denton. And as we speak, as we record, it turns out that the Red Sox have just taken the lead. Adrian Beltre just hit a two-run homer, and the Red Sox are now ahead. Is it 7-6 now?
7-6, going into the bottom of the ninth.
7-6, which is a good thing because you can't lose to the Cleveland Indians, as I see it. The second worst record in the American League at 22-36, and you don't lose to them. Last night, Justin Masterson, you know, watching Justin Masterson pitch, and, you know, he was a good guy while he's with us, you know, very, one of those lovable chaps, and yesterday's loss I can brush off because I don't mind being beaten, being whacked around by Justin Masterson, which is actually the name of my new book of homoerotic poetry. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But
we don't mind. We don't mind losing to. If we have to lose to anyone, we don't mind it being Justin Masterson. But it looks like we are on track to win tonight. Oh, I shouldn't say that. It ain't over till it's over. But at least we are up now in the ninth, 7-6, Red Sox over Cleveland Indians. What we wanted to do in this podcast was just very quickly ask three questions and answer them. Hopefully with an economy of time here, and the questions we wanted to ask, the first one was, is Jacoby Ellsbury ever going to play again? We put up one of our posts, the Adventures of Ellsbury and Alf, a couple of days ago, and we joked about the fact that we said it in the future, 3 years from now, and he's actually coming back from his injury. I honestly, what is it now? He's got cracked ribs, or his head's been separated from his body, or they just found out half of him is made of wood. What's the injury?
Okay, they just found another broken rib. Oh, was this thing hiding? They don't do x-rays and find this out earlier? They find out when the other one's healed that, oh, by the way, you have another broken rib in the back?
That's your faith in
examining this guy.
That's your faith in medicine, you know. Dr. Harpo here is a well-noted physician. It really is one of those stories that just gets stranger the more you hear of it, but I'm convinced that you won't. I don't think he's ever going to play again. I honestly don't, which is a shame because he went from, you know, being one of the big guns in 2007 and the photo shoot of him hurling tires around and things like frickin' Lou Ferrigno, and now he's, you know, he's made of glass now, so I really don't know what the story is with that, but I think they
flew in Carlos Quintana's doctor from Venezuela or whatever the hell he was from. As you're fond of saying, who sewed his ass to his face or whatever it was.
Carlos Quintana, the Red Sox, when the hell was he the first baseman? The early 90s or so? He was in Venezuela, and apparently, as is pretty common in Venezuela, he was out playing frisbee or something, and he got shot or hit with a machete. Just another day in Venezuela, and we'll get a letter for that, I'm sure. But apparently, Carlos Quintana had been shot or macheted or bit by a radioactive tribesman or something bizarre happened, and we went to some voodoo doctor out there, and he came back, and I guess the Red Sox were like, what the fuck did you do? They, like, sewed his ass to his... Every time he farted, his hat flew off or something. It was just... I don't know. They did something bizarre. They sent him to the... He went to some voodoo doctor down there, and he came back. But apparently the treatments up here aren't that much better, because Jacoby, you know, every day they're finding out something. Hey, this wasn't here before. So I don't think he's ever coming back, so we'll just keep our fingers crossed. We hope he comes back, but who knows if that will ever happen. Secondly, you know, is Mike Lowell ever going to hit again for the Red Sox? Actually, that question was answered, I guess, just last inning. Did they put him? Apparently, they put him into pinch hit for Uke, who went out of the game early. And what did he do? He popped out, or
he grounded out to the pitcher.
Okay, but I mean, he's rusty. He's sitting there. I mean, you see him sitting there, and he's just in the corner. And he's a pretty good-natured guy. He's not the kind of guy who, but who would skulk around or throw some bats or, you know, give the camera the finger every time it comes on him. But I see him sitting there, and my God, I just want to call him or send him a sack of sandwiches or something. I just feel so bad for him. He's just sitting there. Any work for me tonight, boss? No. All right, I'll just sit right back down here. I mean, it just feels so bad for him. You know, it's yeah, he's a great guy, and it's a very, very awkward situation, but. You know, when Ortiz is hitting, and apparently, you know, they'll use tonight as an excuse to keep him back on the bench for another month or so. But I think he's obviously his days are numbered too. But I just feel so bad sitting, you know, watching him sit there on the bench. It's kind of disappointing. Well, but you're a pretty heartless guy by trade, so I'm sure it doesn't bother you at all.
Not at all.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, it didn't bother me at all when Ortiz was hitting like Ortiz, but when he's over 22 or whatever, I might not mind seeing Mike Lowell up there.
That's true. I think he's certainly worth having around for insurance purposes, but you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens. They're certainly not going to be sitting Beltre anytime soon, especially not when he's hitting massive fucking bombs to put us in the lead like he just did tonight.
Well, hold that thought.
No, it's the bottom of the ninth, and what's going on? The Indians have a runner on first.
Clock, Trevor Crowe to start the inning, who, by the way, I love that name.
Trevor Crowe?
Unlike Shelly Duncan, not so fond of
Shelly Duncan. If you have to fight somebody, do you want to fight Shelly Duncan or Trevor Crowe? I understand Trevor Crowe wants to kick your ass. Fuck! Hey, get me out of town! Yeah, that's the difference between Trevor Crowe and Shelly Duncan. You get the message. Trevor Crowe wants to kick your ass. You're on the next fucking bus out of town. You're running down Queer Street. However, you get the message. Hey, Shelly Duncan wants to kick your ass. Bring it on! You know, I mean, that's the difference between.
Tell her. Anytime.
And her sister, so, Sandy.
She just did a double, so we got second and third, nobody out, with Kearns, Hafner, and Peralta coming up.
All right, so that's getting ugly. We won't even mention that anymore because it's hopefully. But anyway, but you're right about that. It's depressing to see both the fates that have befallen Jacoby and Mike Lowell. And if we lose this game too, that's just another disappointing thing because you shouldn't lose to the Indians, and we won't. I have the faith, and we'll wait and see. Although there are men on second and third with nobody out, so we'll see. The last question, and it's kind of poignant. It's a very poignant thing. I guess if you, I hate interleague play. You know, I despise it. It's just not a good thing as far as I'm concerned. I'm terribly sick of it. But. Is that you?
No. Oh, actually, shit. Sorry.
Actually, that might have been on my end. I was trying to call up the schedule, and I might have gotten some audio.
Let me see if I have.
But the Dodgers are coming to town next week, if I'm not mistaken. Are they coming to town next week or the week after? Regardless, the Dodgers are coming to town in the near future, and that means that Manny Ramirez will be coming back to Fenway Park, and there's actually a bizarre movement to, you know, you hear people talking about booing Manny. It's actually next week. It's the 18th. Friday the 18th they come in for three games. But the question is, do you boo Manny? And I don't even think that's a question. You don't boo Manny Ramirez. And, you know, I guess all I can say about that is, at least I don't boo Manny Ramirez. You know, all this shit about, you know, he quit on the team, he let him down. That stuff there, I only know what I've read, and, you know, you read the things about, you know, he did this, he did, I mean, you saw that game against the Yankees, we went up there and kind of looked at three pitches, and, you know, who knows what was going on that day, but you read this stuff, unless you believe everything that you read, and I don't, unless it's in Cat Fancy Magazine, I do believe everything that's in there. Like when I read those articles that say your cat needs to have the soothing tones of Burl Ives to sleep, then I'm out there buying the Burl Ives CDs for cats because I know that shit is true. Everything else, though, I kind of take with a grain of salt. And most of the stuff that I think we've heard about Manny towards the end, you know, who knows what's going on? People have agendas, smear campaigns, got to get someone out of town, got to make it look like we're the heroes, got to make it look like he had to go. We had to get him out. We had no choice. Our hands were tied. Our hands were tied, George, they tied our hands. So I take everything with a grain of salt. All I know is that stuff, the bad stuff, I read from somewhere else. The stuff I saw with my own eyes was the fucking awesome stuff. It was the home runs, the walk-offs, the dramatics, the guy who in his very first home run at that's still one of my favorite Fenway moments. I was actually at that opening day, his first Fenway at bat as a member of the Red Sox, and we were two runs down in the bottom of the first, and he nailed a two-run, actually, I think we were three runs down, and he nailed a three-run homer in his first at bat in Fenway as a Red Sox, and it was amazing. That's the stuff I remember, and you know, he was such a big part of the team. He was such a character, certainly one of the most memorable players who's ever donned a Red Sox uniform, and one of the big reasons that we won those two World Series. I mean, you take him out of that equation, and I don't know that you win them both. Certainly not 2004s. And I just can't see anyone in their right mind booing Manny Ramirez when he returns to Boston. But you know what? Who knows? I'm a drunk and a bit of an asshole. What do you think?
I have to say, I think you're a little naive here, because... The great marketing machine that is the Red Sox did a great job of smearing his good name before he left town. I think you're 100% on with your smear campaign comment. I think it's exactly what you said. They know they're trading one of the greatest hitters ever to play the game, and they're not getting a great hitter back. They got Jason Bay. He had some good runs, but let's face it, he's not Manny. So how do you soften the blow? Let's make Manny look like the bad guy around here, and we're just doing this to keep the team chemistry together. And how good would Manny look in the lineup right now?
I mean, he delivered. You know, remember before we got him, there'd be a revolving door of all these faux home run hitters. Oh, wait till Dante Bichette gets to Fenway. Wait till Rob Deere. Andre Dawson at Fenway? Forget about it.
Yeah.
It'll be like the 4th of July every night. You puny humans won't know what the fuck hit you when Andre Dawson gets up to the plate in a Sox uniform. I mean, you had all these people. Nick Osaski. Actually, he was pretty good the one year before he went, before he got the Spider-Man disease there. But you had all these guys coming in, and it was the same old battle cry, put this guy at Fenway and it'll be home runs aplenty. And then they got here, and, you know, whatever. But Manny was the first guy. And he was the backup plan. Remember, we got him because we didn't get Mike Mussina.
That's right.
And, you know, and then you finally had this bona fide home run hitter, this guy who just made it look so easy, who was so incredible. And he was amazing to watch. He was just, you know, he made the games more exciting. You know, he was a legitimate game changer. You know, he changed the way that other managers managed their teams in the late innings. He was just amazing to watch. He was a great guy to have on the team, and I loved every minute that he was here. I really enjoyed watching him play, and I'm very thankful I had the chance to watch him play. And I just can't. I mean, it would just really disgust me to see a large contingent of people booing. I can't imagine. There's a part of me that says,
I think it's going to happen.
I
think it's going to happen. It's just like you just talked about, all those right-handed hitters, they're gonna mash off the wall. They're going to hit everything over the wall. But they pump guys up coming in, and then when it's time to get rid of them, they knock them back down. And if you remember, there was the whole quitting on the team. He doesn't run out grounders and all that, you know. Take a look and let me know how fast Jason Veritek's running a grounder out, and you never hear anybody talking about that. But the big thing that really sealed his fate was the whole he body slammed the traveling secretary. Okay, I'm not buying it.
Oh yeah.
After watching Manny play all those years, he didn't seem to have a real violent bone in his body. Can I see him getting pissed off and maybe brushing by him and being a big, strong guy, kind of knocking him backwards? Maybe, but, I mean, you listen to these guys like Callahan in the morning and you'd think he pulled a WWF move on this, you know, 70-year-old guy and threw him to the floor.
I'm all about, you know what, these old people got out of line. You gotta shut their asses down. Didn't Jim Rice take Joe Morgan out in the Didn't he grab him one time? You fucking old man, you tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do.
Sometimes these guys need a learning.
You know what? Sometimes grandpa needs a slap. You know, I'm not beyond that. Anyway, I remember before Nomar came back with Oakland, because you know you got to sell papers and you got to talk controversially in the newspapers. I know that some people were saying, "Geez, I wonder if Nomar will get some booze tonight." He came. I think he got like a 2-minute long ovation. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, watching it was amazing. It's always a wonderful thing to see these guys come back and get what's due to them. And it would really crush me to see people booing Manny. And I just don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I know there are people who will say, "Well, screw him quitting on the team." But you know, if you drink the Kool-Aid, if you're going to believe everything you hear from the front office and everything, and they say, "Well, some of the players said so too." Well, I mean, who knows? I mean,
I never heard a player say it. I heard the media say the player said it, but I never heard a player come out and say it.
If my boss
and friggin' Curt Schilling, which.
If my boss came up to me and said, "We just fired Jenkins because we saw him pleasuring himself in a ladies' room. Now you don't like Jenkins, do you?" I mean, what am I going to say? "Well, I love Jenkins. In fact, I was going to do the same thing." I say, "No, fucking Jenkins, an asshole, and it's good you got rid of him." You know, you toe the company line. So, you know,
hey, I know a guy named Jenkins.
Well, perhaps it's the same gentleman. I think there's a lot of that. But I think that the bottom line with that is I really think that when Manny comes back, that the overwhelming majority of people are going to cheer him, because I think that's the right thing to do. And you say, "You know what? 2004 and 2007 were fucking awesome, and you were a big part of that. And you know what? You made it interesting. All that shit. Remember that when they thought he was going to be traded at the deadline? Think of the Manny moments. You know, running out with the flag, selling the grill. You know, taking a whiz in the scoreboard back there. I mean, he was a funny player. He was like Kevin Millar, but with actual production value behind him. You know, I mean,
He was believe I'm agreeing with you, but I agree with
you. He was entertaining. I mean, you enjoyed seeing him. He just really made that team that much more lovable and goofy, and he was a big part of it. And I can't imagine the booing. I personally
I hope
can't.
You're right, because I'm in the same court as you are, and I obviously won't be able to get a ticket to the game sure as hell be cheering my ass off.
I think Theo will boo him. And perhaps a few other people, but I'm gonna get, you know, I say if you go, you get the signs, you get the Manny puppet. By the way, where's the puppet been this year? Have you even seen the Papelbon puppet?
That is a great question, and I don't know. I haven't seen either puppet.
Now, see, that just disturbs me. I mean, this is the year where we actually have our own puppets here, and we thought there'd be, you know, we could have some kind of puppet summit or something.
It's just
but you know, that's something we'll address. You know, that's the next podcast. Where the fuck
are
the puppets?
Let's take that offline.
Where are the puppets? Anyway, all right. So, how are we looking here? Do we even dare look at the score of the game? Or
bases loaded, two outs.
All right. So maybe we should get
Russ Branyon.
Well, that's a name you can
trust.
Well, we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and we're going to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. My name is Red. His name is Denton. See ya.
Good night.